All righty, come on in. We are live already, so welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church and Christmas Sunday morning, and we got a good-looking crowd here. Lots of food. If you didn't come today, you missed kolaches and tacos and donuts and donut holes and orange juice and all kinds of stuff. Feel free to do that during service, too. I was telling some people, it keeps you awake during the sermon, so feel free to eat. And today we're also going to serve you some living bread, so hopefully God's word's going to fill you up spiritually. But good to see everybody. How are you? We're going to do some announcements here a little bit later on, but I just appreciate you all being here. We're going to open up with some good Christmas songs. This will be the last Sunday we do them until next year this time. And then Sunday night, we'll talk, not Wednesday night, Christmas Eve, we'll sing some more Christmas songs to kind of finish up.
Good morning.
Shortly. Jaylene's here. Yeah. Jaylene always comes online and says good morning to everybody in the world. So everybody in the world gets to hear Jaylene. Good morning, Jaylene. All right. Everybody good today? I praise God it isn't like it was yesterday or last Sunday. This is a lot drier. Yesterday was just something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was out in that. It was just crazy. Hey, Philip, how are you? Good seeing you. All right. We're going to sing some. We'll do the first and last verse or so of the ones, and we pretty well know these. I think they're Christmas songs. You hear them during the season quite a bit. So.
Hello? Hello?
All right. Let's keep going. Yeah. Joy to the world. Here we go.
Joy to the world. Of his love and wonders of his love and wonders.
good singing. Good singing. I'll get you old. Oh, my. Tell you what, we have a few announcements. How many's going to be here Christmas Eve? Just so I can kind of get a... Oh, everybody. Okay, good. Okay. We're going to go ahead and... it will be... Do what?
TBA.
Okay. we'll have a good time Christmas Eve. We'll start at 7 o'clock. And it's candlelight service, which just means there's going to kind of be an atmosphere built. And we'll have a little bit of singing and a little bit of devotion. But then we'll have the communion, Lord's Supper. We'd love to have you come be part of. If you want to join us online, we'll be live just like Sunday morning on BBS Radio and Shattered by the Darkness and all the other platforms, iHeartRadio and all those that it runs. But we'll be live at 7 o'clock Christmas Eve, too. We went ahead and a lot of that time and got that time saved just for us on station one, which is the main station. And appreciate Don and Doug working that in for me. And so if you're going to do it at home, feel free to get some crackers or some bread and some grape juice. And when we go to the communion park, you can do it from home if you want to join us, because I just can't think of a better place that I'd prefer to be than in God's house on Christmas Eve. This is probably... Good Friday and Christmas Eve are my favorite two services of the year. I just love those. It just seems like there's an awesome spirit at that time. And bring your family. Don't feel like you have to dress up. We just come casual like we do anyway and just come and just be part. And we will not go very long, maybe 40, 45 minutes, and we'll get you back home to celebrate and open up all the presents. And kids, it gives Santa a chance to get into the house while you're all here at church. So for those that are waiting for Santa Claus to come, he may pass my place this year. I'm not for sure. But anyway, we want you to all be part of that. That'd be Sunday or not. No. What day of the week is that going to be on? Thursday? Thursday night. Christmas Eve.
That's this Thursday.
It's this Thursday. Can you believe it already? I can't believe that we're already there or not. But it this Thursday... and everybody that comes, not everybody that comes, but all the kids that come, I have a special Christmas gift that I want to give the kids. And I think they'll get a kick out of this. So make sure you come and be part of that. 7 p.m. Christmas Eve candle light service live and on BBS Radio. So invite your friends and family and come and be a part of it. We want you to continue to remember Veronica and her family. We had a funeral this week for her 40-year-old brother that got killed tragically, and may you just pray for them and peace, especially during this time of the year. I can't imagine trying to deal with grief, and you know, there's that one empty chair at the table that if you've gone through this, you know what I'm talking about. And you look around and that one place is where he should have been sitting, and that's going to be tough for them and all those other people that deal with tough times at Christmas time. So just want you to lift them up in your prayer. If you haven't been in the back, feel free. I don't know if it's muddy or not. Hey, Jerry, how are you? You snuck in on me. Good seeing you, my friend. You may want to go back to the back sometime. If not, this week you're going to be doing the rest of the flooring in the children's area and all the way around the back. So the floor will all be done with the exception of the big spots, Sanctuary, Fellowship Hall, and the entryway. And those are all going to be buffed, hopefully, in the next couple weeks. And that's going to be done. And then at that point, electric is being ran to hook up with the HVAC, and then the plumbing is going to be the last thing. So we can flush the toilets and have running water. Indoor plumbing. We're really getting right downtown Peely Brown. Indoor plumbing in our church. And after that, we will bust through the wall. So we're getting close. If anybody wants to have a need for a end of the year gift, we would appreciate that. Anything that goes to the Vision Fund will go to help us finish up these last things. And then the parking lot, we're trying to be creative with the parking lot. I suggested we get goats to eat the grass and fertilize at the same time so we can just park on the grass. But we're going to have, we have to have some concrete out there, but it won't be as massive as what we were originally anticipating, trying to save money and be stewards of God's money and appreciate all the gifts. All the things about how to give those in your end of the year gifts Esther has put a very detailed process in here of how you can mail it, how you can do it online, how you can bring it in the office, and all of those are right here. So thank you for that, and at least considering us in your prayers for that, in your patience. I really thought we would be in there Christmas Eve, but that's what I get for thanking. But with no electricity, we can't do it. It'd be a true candlelight service, and we're going to do it right here. So, but next year it looks like we're going to be in there. But I said that the last 3 years, so don't hold me to that. But we ought to be in there.
Your odds are in your favor now.
Huh?
The odds are in your favor.
The odds are in my favor, but you know, I'll probably get hit by a bus on the day coming here to the Denver Overs. But anyway, we're looking forward to it. So thank you all for your patience and your love and your understanding and help and your giving and your heart. So we appreciate that. With that thought in mind, we will continue our worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings. And you know, we put a lot of thought, and I'm not, don't feel like I'm trying to twist your arms, because I'm not. This is just off the cuff, and I think from the Spirit. How much thought do you give with the presents you buy your loved ones? You think about it quite a bit, don't you? You think about it months in advance. This holiday, this Sunday, is Christmas Sunday in our world. What kind of thought have you put into what you're going to give him? Because he sure put a lot of thought in what he was going to give you. And God didn't look around and repackage a gift that he got a couple years ago, and he said, oh, this has been in the closet. I'm going to dust this off and give it to Nancy for Christmas. God looked around heaven, and he said, I have one son, the best, pure, sinless, and it shows you how much I love you. I'm going to give him to you. That's not to make you feel guilty about when the plate goes by, but it sure gives us some insight of what we should be giving to him. Your time, your energy, your talent, your love. And please, as not only your pastor, but as just a friend of yours, somewhere down the line when you meet with your family this week, tell them about Jesus. Tell those beautiful little kids about the Lord and read the Christmas story somewhere in the middle of all the craziness and the fun and the stockings and the gifts. Tell them about Jesus, because this is truly the most precious time of the year. We couldn't have Easter. We couldn't have salvation if it wasn't for what was given on what this day symbolizes. So please remember that. And if we can have the ushers to come forth, I would appreciate that. Well, I'm kind of glad you all came today. I didn't know if anybody would be here or not today. True enough?
Yes.
If it's not, if we have so much money, there's not, I got an extra one just in case. Jackie, Zell, you got a prayer in you? If you do, let's bless the offering, if you would, sir. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, please come to the children, just acknowledging you and your sovereignty, and just thanking you and our gratefulness for your love and mercy and grace. And Lord, we acknowledge that everything belongs to you, and all good things come from you. And Lord, we take this time as an act of worship to give back to you a portion of what you give to us. And Lord, may it be used according to your will. Those things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Sound good. Emmanuel. I liked it. I like doing that every Sunday of the Christmas season, because that's what it's all about. And we're going to talk about that Christmas Eve, so I kind of wanted to grease your pump oil. About the impact of what one child can make on this earth. Thousands of years ago, you can think of some of the maybe the most powerful people ever in leadership, and let's face it, few years, you probably won't remember much about them. The impact won't be there like it is now. But Jesus Christ, that one gift, made all the difference in the world. And that's why I like Emmanuel. God with us. Can you feel it? Hear? God inhabits the praise of his people. So if you can't feel him, you must have not been praising him, because that's a promise. So if you're singing, even though you may not know the songs, but you knew some of the words and you were singing it from your heart, he's here. He's in our midst. And we've been in Luke for several weeks, but we're going to kind of finish out the next couple and being in the book of Matthew. I don't know if you've been here the whole month of December, but I think the first, I forget what I preach, and only knows. We doing all right, son? We doing all right? Okay. I forget what I preach on, but I think if I remember right, the first Sunday in December, we talked about how God uses disruptions in our life to have something special happen. Then we talked about a couple weeks ago how God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. What did we talk about last week? Somebody help me.
His promises.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. I'm glad somebody. Nancy was one of those few that stayed awake through the whole sermon last week. So thank you, Nancy. I'm teasing. The promises. The promises that we think somehow are used differently sometimes when reality comes around. Because let's face it, and we'll talk about this more Christmas Eve. Everybody was expecting the Messiah. They had teachers and prophets and all these religious leaders saying there's going to be a day when this prophet, this Messiah walks on the scene. And they had the promises. And majority of the people back in those days believed that promise. They were looking and waiting. But the promise came. And the ones that was closest, supposedly, to the religious couldn't see, because it came in a different way than what they expected the promise to happen. That happens in our own life. I don't want to get on that, because I'll preach last Sunday's sermon again. But the last one, as we finish this series, is, I think, a good one. Have you ever got in a hurry to get somewhere, and you're driving along, and you come to a place where there's road construction, and they detour you off that route? Happened to me yesterday morning in the rain. I was heading to another hospital to get the vaccine. So my arm doesn't work very good today. I had the vaccine, the first shot of the COVID vaccine. And there was. I always like to get there early. So I was heading out 2 hours early. I got there about 20 minutes early by the time that construction threw me for a detour. And we see detours in our life that we think are handed to us and we aren't expecting. And it somehow delays you ever sometimes getting there, but it's sometimes longer to get to the destination than what you ever thought. Most of the time, let's be honest, we look at delays, detours, as annoying, frustrating. But a traffic detour is one thing. But sometimes we end up taking life detours. That's a whole different ballgame. Unexpected life event, unexpected job loss, unexpected spouse leaving, unexpected crisis, unexpected expense that comes in and takes all the money that you thought you were going to have. It's those rainy day funds and it's been pouring on yours financially. I want to let you know, from my own life experiences, I would never be here, nor would I be who I am, unless God orchestrated some major life detours in my world. I would have never been to Texas if it wasn't for open heart surgery. Never. And at 46, I was wondering, what, God, have you done to me? What did I do to deserve this? And I'm sure everybody in my church up there is all those Twinkies, Pastor Greg. I've heard that I don't know how many times with my health problems. Now it's all that soda, you drink. Okay, well, whatever it is, it handed me a life detour. But you know, I praise God that I have the zipper from the top of my rib cage all the way down to my belly button, and now a whole bunch of holes from gallbladder. I got quite a connect the dots on my chest, and I could do a really beautiful map. I praise God, because if it wasn't for this, I would have never been here. Never. Divine detours in your life. I have no idea what you're going through right now, but I have a feeling you may be here for a reason, because you've experienced a detour that you are still aggravated at, you're still mad at, you're still confused at, you are still angry at God with, and he's saying, hang on to your britches. I have a divine detour that's going to take you to a place that you never dreamed of, that'd been 10 times better, 100 times. I didn't know Texas existed because I was from Missouri. Missouri, Texas. No comparison, folks. Heaven, Texas. Hell, Missouri. That much of a difference. That much of a difference. A divine detour. Because our motto and our pillar scripture is on this whole month, Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. Put your name there. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, Philip. This is God talking. Your thoughts, Pat. My thoughts are nothing like yours, says the Lord. My ways are so far beyond anything you can imagine. Write this down. God's plan for our lives are never a straight line. Never. Never. Us men like a straight line. How am I going to get there? I want to get from point A to point B. We will walk over gardens, rose bushes, and anything to bypass. You ladies want to take the scenic route. And you go down the sidewalk and look at everything and smell everything and touch everything. Oh, isn't that pretty? And I'm already at the end of the road. Come on. Just get there. Do it. But God's way is never a straight and narrow. It's never just absolutely straight line. He always has detours in your life. And my life is such a detour. I would have never had my son go from Germany to be stationed in a place when he called me, do you know where Sugar Land is? I think that's where I'm going. That's a few miles from where I am. Are you kidding me? Say yes, let's go. That's a detour. And God has his miraculous way of doing that. You say, great, are you ever going to get to the sermon? Yes, I am. It just may not be before noon. The Christmas story gives us a detour. Magnificently orchestrated by God. He had all the time in the world, did he not, to plot this out? To say who he wanted to be in it? Who he wanted to witness it? What town it was going to take place in? Matter of fact, all the pieces were prophesied. God already said, this is the way it's going to be. And if something doesn't click and fit in right, it's not my son. It's a fake. Ignore it. But he throws in, after the baby's born, a huge, huge detour. Now that I hope I got your interest or I've lost you completely, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Why wet my whistle? Matthew chapter 2. I love y'all. I just love our church, our family. They're getting better than this. If you're there, say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Matthew 2, 1 through 18. 1 through 18, because we're just going to jump in and read some of this as we go. You can just kind of look down. This is the visit of the wise men. Okay, let's read a little bit of it, and we'll stop before I get to my first point. I got 3 points and 3 points under each point, so I got to get moving here. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, I love how they put this on the calendar. You history nuts, you can find this. It's there in the timeline of God, timeline of the world. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. I wish we were all just at the house and we could just talk about this stuff all day, because have you ever noticed the word his star? There's a sermon right there, folks. Look that up and study that. His star. Wow. That had nothing to do with the sermon, but that's good. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was with him. When he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it's written by the prophets. Now this is prophecy, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for this young child. And when you find him, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him also. Oh. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, I want you to see and hold it right there, because these next two verses is my first point. What can we learn about our own detours from God that we can take away from this Christmas story? I'm glad you asked. Because number one, God will provide for the detour that he takes you on. God always provides for the detour that he takes you on, that he puts you on. Verse 10 and 11, stay right there. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house, saw the child, this is the wise men, saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those three gifts, we can talk about that. We talked about it at the live nativity when we had that and all about that. The gold is the currency of the time. We talked about frankincense was a pleasant aroma. As a matter of fact, I think Gilbert and you kings, you let the kids smell that stuff. And myrrh was an embalming spice used for burial. And we all know the symbolism of that is the gold represents kingship. Frankincense represented an intercessory that the Lord was going to intercede for us. And myrrh represented that he was going to die for us with the embalming spice. But let's be practical. I think this was God's way of providing for the detour. You say, wait. What detour? The kings went exactly the way it was. Matter of fact, they had AAA star and GPS on to be able to get them there with no hesitation. They probably didn't run into construction. They made it there exactly. There was no detour. What are you talking about? Look here. I want you to see. Before we go any further, write down Philippians 4:19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Mary and Joseph got to experience how God was going to provide for them from this day forward. Because all of a sudden, they are handed a detour. Detours provide opportunity for us to be able to see God's miraculous provision. Every time I have a detour in my life, instead of damning it, instead of cursing it, instead of shunning it, watch God provide for you through it. And he does it here. And he'll do it in your life too. The other point under number one is detours provide an opportunity for God to move others on our behalf. Think about this. Going through a detour, and it's caused you some pretty lean times. You know what lean times are. Don't you dare try to remove God's blessing from us by refusing what he told us to do for you. Watch how this works. 2 Corinthians 9:12, write that down and you can read it when you get home. So two good things were resolved from the ministry of giving. The needs of believers in Israel will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. God's going to provide. Watch what happens. We think these gifts are trinkets to put on their mantelpiece when they get their family home. Mary and Joseph were to put these up on above the fireplace. This is what the wise men gave us. I want to present to you that I think it was the way for them to be able to afford the detour that they was getting ready to be handed. You're saying, what detour? Well, let's get to that. Verses 13 through 15. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared. Okay? Jesus is born. The wise men came. The angel appeared. Everybody had their little singing choruses. All the shepherds were there. Everything was, we know the Christmas story. But afterwards, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, Joseph, get up. Flee to Egypt. with the child and his mother. And the angel said, stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for this child to kill him. Now, Joseph, I don't know what version you got, but some of your versions, because it's the way you would have done things, ponders on this for weeks at a time. No way. Look what he does. That night, Joseph loaded up the trunk of the car and they hightailed it out of town. That was the Williams version. Here's what Matthew says. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child, Jesus, and Mary, his mother. And they stayed there until Herod's death. In the middle of the night, an angel communicated to Joseph. They had to leave, and they had to leave now. It was a 75-mile trip just to the border of Egypt. Then it was another 25 miles, probably to any kind of civilization that was of normalcy, a settlement that was in Egypt. They basically had to grab everything and get out of town. Why were they in such a hurry? Because they would have been killed. Jesus would have been dead meat if they didn't leave. How are they going to afford it? They didn't have a whole bunch of Christmas cards with little checks in there. Thank you for being such a loving father to our Savior. Here's $20. How are they going to afford to live until King Herod died? Could it be God just gave them an unlimited Visa card that was made out of gold from the wise men? Here you go. There's your provision to take you on the detour that's called life. I think that's what the present was for. To provide for the upheaval of what they was going to go for. Just like he will provide for you. God's detours, number two, are never easy. They aren't easy. But let's be honest. We learn best when life's the hardest. When life's whistling Dixie. When everything's great. I don't learn anything. But when life cuts me off at the knees, but I'm ready to listen and obey. James 1, 2 through 4 says this. Dear brothers and sisters. Okay, how about dear church? Or the Texas version. Dear y'all. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. I almost promise you that joy is the same joy that's used in the Christmas story. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Wow. I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I thank God I'm not what I'm going to be. But I'm so glad that I went through the tough stuff for him to get my attention. Because church, this pastor in front of you probably would have never been real in front of you ever. If I could have manipulated and wore the mask till the day I die, I would have. Because it was so much easier. How you doing, Greg? I'm fine. How are you, buddy? Don't get too close to me. Not because of COVID, but you may be able to see behind my mask. But when life hands you tough stuff, the blood, sweat, and tears starts causing that mask to loosen a little bit. And then before long, it's on the floor and you're stomping all over and you go, hey, folks, this is me. Love me or hate me, but this is me. And you know what? I got people that love me more than what I ever would have been loved. Trying to be perfect. I thank God for those detours. I thank God for those difficult times. God wants our faith strong. The tough times cause us that strength. We learn best when things are different. We hear best when things are difficult. We bond best when things are difficult. Church, our building, is a perfect example of that. We have bonded so close over this goofiness in the back. We've bonded because of that. Last point. Curtis gave me the high five, so I only got four or five minutes. Number three, God's detours fulfills his promises. Matthew 2:15. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. I'm not for sure, but if I remember studying this last night, I believe that's from Hosea. You have a fancy Bible, look at the bottom or look at the reference. If I'm not, I'm wrong. But I thought if I remember right, at my age, I forget lots of things. Philip's saying I'm right. It's Hosea something. Did you have the verse?
11:1.
Okay, Hosea. That's a quote. It fulfilled prophecy. God's detours always fulfills his purpose. God wasn't done with me. When I left Missouri, I retired from the ministry. I announced on Easter Sunday morning in Middletown, Missouri, I am retired. I said, amen. And I walked out the side door and didn't hug one person by. That's the way I leave a church. I say bye and I walk out. The car was running, got in the car and went out of town, went out of state. Retired. Lord, I've done enough. And God said, oh, if you only knew. If you only knew, sunshine, you didn't. God detours always fulfills his promises. God always detours and intends to take us to our greatest stories ever told. 1 Peter 5:10. Am I getting close, Kurt? 2 minutes, all my lands. 1 Peter 5:10, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by the means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. Whatever you're going through, whatever detour you're experiencing right now, put your faith in him, and he will put you on solid ground. Another person, another friend, another bank account, another job will never give you the confidence that the foundation of what Jesus Christ can do for you. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. And then the last thing under number three is God detours, moves God's greatest agenda forward. It accomplished exactly what he did for Mary and Joseph, and he kept Jesus alive. And what he is doing for them, he's doing for us this very day. What kind of detour have you experienced? What kind of life curveball did you get that you wasn't expecting? How are you handling it? Don't curse him. Praise him. Because he wants to get you through it together with him. And it'll always point to him. And he never leads you any place that he won't provide you the stuff to get you through it. I promise you that. Dear Lord, we come to you right now, and I thank you for your word. I needed this today. Thank you for this story of a birth. It keeps giving us life lessons. Lord, there's somebody here that needed to hear this. May they take this to heart. Whether there's somebody online that's hearing this live or going to hear it on a repeat that needs to hear this and take it to heart. Detours shouldn't be cursed. They should be embraced. And show them the way. Show me the way to get through the construction zone and on the path that you laid out for us before the beginning of time. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you all for coming today. God bless. We will see you Christmas Eve, hopefully, 7 p.m. live right here. And be ready to spend some time with the Lord. God bless. Have an awesome day. God bless you all for being with us today.